From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will bring the concluding portion of a message called The Certainty and Nature of Answered Prayer, part of this series in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Confidence Not Misplaced. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. The Lord God will help me. These are in prophecy the words of Messiah in the day of his obedience unto death, when he gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. He was confident in divine support and trusted in Jehovah. O my soul, thy sorrows are as the small dust of the balance compared with thy Lord's. Canst thou not believe that the Lord God will help thee? Thy Lord was in a peculiar position, for as the representative of sinful men, their substitute and sacrifice, it was needful that the Father should leave him and cause him to come under desertion of soul. No such necessity is laid upon thee. Thou art not bound to cry, Why hast thou forsaken me? Did thy Savior, even in such a case, still rely upon God, and canst not thou? He died for thee, and thus made it impossible that thou shouldst be left alone. Wherefore, be of good cheer. In this day's labors or trial, say, The Lord God will help me. Go forth boldly, set your face like a flint, and resolve that no faintness or shamefacedness shall come near you. If God helps, who can hinder? If you are sure of omnipotent aid, what can be too heavy for you? Begin the day joyously, and let no shade of doubt come between thee and the eternal sunshine. One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Pray to thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In the face of this and many other promises in the Bible regarding God's promise to answer prayer, the people of God often find themselves perplexed as to why some of their requests seem to be ignored or denied. As we've seen, God knows what to give and what to withhold as he seeks to conform his people to Christ. As Dr. Cairns will show, it is in the battleground of prayer that we learn the blessing of total submission to God's will and his ways. Now, to conclude this message, the certainty and nature of answered prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
There are certain things a child wants you don't give. Why? Because first, it's not asking according to your will. Secondly, it's not asking according to wisdom. Oh, it feels it needs it. It feels it wants it. But a wise parent doesn't always give it. You see, The whole idea in responding to a child is not just the idea of what you do in the moment. The idea is building the child, maturing the child, so that there comes the time when that child is able to look at the world and make its decisions on a right and holy basis. That's what the Lord does with us. Communion with God aims at conformity to Him. Prayer is part of God's plan to make us after the image of Christ. Part of the problem of unanswered prayer is that we're like those children. Sometimes we ask ignorantly. And what we ask for is not what we need at all. Other times we ask immaturely. And other times we ask prematurely. And the Lord, as our Father in heaven, is going to keep all those things in mind as He responds to us. Let me deal with this one final way very quickly. God's answers to our prayers flow directly out of communion with Him. That's obvious from the words of the text. Pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now that will answer finally every difficulty we have about getting answers to prayer. You get into the secret place, that's the place of communion. Now listen to me very carefully. In communion, we submit our understanding to His. The Lord knows our need. Now we should know what we're asking. We should seek to understand what we really need. Why we need it, what we're asking and why we're asking. We must not simply multiply words in prayer. We must pray with understanding. But we must submit that to the Lord, for He knows our needs better than we do. He understands what we're asking better than we do. He understands all that the asking entails and all that the answer would entail. He knows how best to answer. And sometimes He may substitute one answer for another. He may give a better thing than what we ask for. Isn't that the plain meaning of Ephesians 3? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or even think. So when we come to commune with God, we submit our understanding to Him. And then we submit our will to His will. When we pray, we say, Thy will be done. With Christ, we say, not my will, but Thine. And let me tell you, that there's a text that very often is in my mind. You very rarely hear a preacher preach on it. But it's a very important one. Tells us that we should recognize the danger of willfulness when we come to pray. Psalm 106, verse 15. He gave them their request. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Be very careful about demanding of God. Be very careful about this attitude that I will not submit my will. I demand to have it. When we are asking in the will of God for the glory of God, that's one thing we can say, I will not let you go until you bless me and unless you bless me. But when we have no conscious realization of the will of God, rather than demand, we would be far better to come to know God's will. When I was a young fellow in Belfast, I heard my folks give the most extreme example of that I have ever known. In a very familiar part of Belfast to us, there was a woman. whose infant lay at the point of death. And she was naturally out of her mind. Now let's be very honest. When a parent sees a child at the point of death, the first thought is not, Lord, if it is your will to take this child, I don't want to keep it. Take it. I submit to your will. That's not the first thought in a parent's mind. But it should be. It should be. That woman was going frantic. She demanded of God that this child would live, whatever it would cost, that that child would live. And against all the medical odds, live it did. Some years would die. That boy emigrated. He got into trouble. He was condemned to death for murder. The very people who had prayed with her years before now got together and they made a collection to send her to the other side of the world to see her son before he was hanged. And she said, I wish before God he had died and not lived. That time when I demanded that God save his life. It is natural to pray as she prayed. My friend, let us be careful about demanding where we don't know the will of God. Recognize the danger of willfulness, but rejoice in the assurance of knowing God's will. Because you can, through submission to His Word, through the study of His Word, through time spent with God, you can come to an understanding of the will of God. And let me bring you again to those wonderful words of 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of Him. The key in the life of the Christian is getting to know God's will. Can I throw in a little bit of what I think is real wisdom? Didn't originate with me, though I've had to learn it the hard way. Great men of prayer and preaching power like Whitfield had to come to learn this too. Even when you know God's will, in many cases you cannot limit God as to when. We have such a tunnel vision when it comes to time. We are creatures that respond to the stimulus of the moment. And we don't have the infinite vision of the omniscient God. Let us understand that when God promises He'll do something, He will do it. And if it's not something He must do today in order to fulfill His promise, it's something He may do today, but He may do tomorrow. Or He may do a year from now. John the Apostle prayed, did he pray in the will of God when he prayed, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Did he pray in the will of God? Certainly he did. Did God hear his prayer? Certainly he did. But John could no more bind the infinite, eternal God to his time scale than can you or I. And he still hasn't come. But he has heard the prayer. And answer it he will. When we get to the place of communion, we submit our understanding, we submit our will, and we aim at God's glory. And you know, that is the final thing that brings together these points of tension, brings together all the universal promises of what God will do in answer to prayer, with all the conditional statements about praying in the will of God, praying in faith. Because there are really only two ways of saying the same thing when you look at it from the aspect of communion with God. When you're in communion with God, whatsoever you ask, whatsoever you desire, is according to His will. And if it's not according to His will, you no more desire it. Take the case of Wesley again. Did Wesley desire to live? Certainly he desired to live. But if it was not going to glorify God, he was not willing to live. You see, in the place of communion, when you want to glorify Him, whatsoever you desire, whatsoever you ask, it's just the same thing as asking in His will. It's the same thing as asking by faith. Now, there will be times, because you and I are very, very frail and foolish people, when we can't understand, and when we finally can't understand what the Lord is doing or not doing, we must come to adapt the words of the Savior, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight." When we come to that place, we'll see what is called unanswered prayer. Rather, is God giving a better answer, or achieving a higher purpose, or simply delaying the answer till a better time? Daniel was praying with great expectation and great urgency. Remember, he again is one of the three people God chose to speak about in Ezekiel 14 as the three great intercessors: Noah, Job, Daniel. 3 weeks later, the answer comes. 3 weeks later. But what was the answer? God heard you at the beginning. What Daniel couldn't see was the tremendous spiritual warfare that was going on. He could see part, but even a mighty man of God like Daniel could not see the entirety of the implications of his praying. God was looking after all the things that Daniel could see. He was also looking after all the things that Daniel couldn't see. And he was delaying the answer to the best possible time, all for the glory of His own great name. Men and women, God does answer prayer. He does so as an all-wise Heavenly Father, and He does so as we hold communion with Him. Now that's what encourages us to pray. Paradoxically, that's what makes prayer so difficult. For listen, if God answers prayer, doesn't it seem clear to you that Satan's going to try to keep us from true prayer? If God answers prayer, listen, I hope this will get through. If God answers prayer, that will make prayer a battleground. If God didn't answer prayer, look, the devil wouldn't be there to oppose you. He wouldn't be wasting his time. It's because God does answer prayer, as the hymn writer says, that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. It's because it's true that he will oppose you in prayer, as he did the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3. He stood at Joshua's right hand to resist him. When you come to pray, have you ever felt it? You ever felt your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth? You have energy for everything else, but suddenly the energy's drained. Suddenly your mind goes blank. Suddenly it's very difficult to do this thing. Why? Because it's spiritual warfare. That's why. Prayer is a battleground because God answers prayer. But it's also a blessed ground because God answers prayer. Oh, may the Lord write it on our heart today. I hope that you'll go out of this house as a child of God, rejoicing in the reality of your communion with Him, and put this text into operation. Enter into your closet, shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. For our Father answers prayer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.